I know today, as we come during this pandemic, that many of these chairs would be filled if we were allowed to have that. But since we're not allowed to have that, we do have a recording that is going on that will record everything but the music, because that's a copyright, but we have all the words, and within an hour or so, you should be able to tell your friends, both in this church and other churches in the Green River community, whoever wants to listen, that it will be available on sermon audio, and just go to Richard P. Carlson under by speaker, and you can hear all of it. Beloved, nothing in this whole world brings the comfort that we need in such a time of sorrow as the very precious Word of God. I want to just draw a little bit from the well of God's Word and draw deeply at this funeral service. First, from the Old Testament, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a time we need to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In David's psalm, David spoke of the Lord as his personal shepherd, and those who know Jesus can say with certainty the same words that Marian loved. And if you know this blessed psalm, you can join in and say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Psalm 91, 1 and 2 declares, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And Isaiah the prophet spoke precious words of comfort in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. And in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. This is the word of the Lord from the Old Testament. May God bless His holy word to our hearts. Now from the New Testament, the precious words of Jesus come to my mind from John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul gives us perspective in this time of sorrow. Paul has said, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, 7, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul tells us what God produces in the life of His own children when we belong to Jesus. And we saw this fruit evidenced in Marian's life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Paul adds in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8, which is an accompanying verse to the passage I'll be preaching from, Marian's verse that she loves so much. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord from the New Testament. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this funeral. Father, as we bow in prayer, we ask your comfort. We ask your blessing. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We come to you, dear Father. We come to you in Jesus' name. We ask today for your balm of Gilead to soothe the grief in every heart, Father. Especially be with Larry in Arizona and with Deborah and Kathleen and Tamara and their husbands and children. Help us all to remember that you, Lord, in your sovereign providence and your sovereign will and grace, you knew best when you would take Marian home to your arms last Saturday, April 4th. Thank you, God, that Marian didn't have to suffer for a longer time. Now, Lord, please woo to your loving arms every person that's present here today. Don't let one of us go away without truly knowing you personally, Lord Jesus. Let each of us be able to say with Marian, the Lord is my personal shepherd. I shall not want. And we ask these blessings, Father, in the wonderful name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Who am I? On Saturday, April 4th, 2020, Mary and Joy Remington, 78, walked into the arms of Jesus. She was born December 29th, 1941, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the daughter of Tice and Sadie Burns. She was a resident of Rock Springs, Wyoming, for the last 2 years and a former resident of Sun City, Arizona. She married Larry Dale Remington in October the 2nd of 1988 in Youngstown, Arizona. Marian attended schools in Michigan, graduating from Grand Rapids Christian High in 1959 before attending Grand Valley University for nursing because she had a lifelong desire and dedication to helping others be healthier. She was an adult nurse practitioner for 40 years until her retirement on March 31, 2018. She devoted 60 years to the nursing field. Marian was a member of the Evangelical Free Church led by Pastor Richard Carlson. Her interests included cruising, going for walks, reading, bingo, bowling, singing in the choir, playing games with her family, and participating in activities at the Young at Heart Center and Deer Trail. Survivors include her loving husband, Larry Remington of Carefree, Arizona, daughters Deborah Willard and husband Michael of Rock Springs, Wyoming, Kathleen Shekel of Rogue River, Oregon, Tamara Carr and husband Brent of Rock Springs, Wyoming, brother Dave Burns of Linden, Washington, grandchildren Kayla, Travis, and Sadie, as well as many nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, Tice and Sadie Burns, and her brothers, Glenn and Terry Burns. As I come to this eulogy, I've never had a eulogy quite like this, because I always prepare eulogies after the person has departed. But after sharing for an hour and a half with Marian herself and her three daughters, Deborah, Willard, Kathleen, Shekel, and Tamara Carr, they told me about their own mother, Marion, in Marion's presence. And Marion was in the dining room where she listened and shared herself some on Tuesday, March 10th, 2020, just 1 month ago. We shared from 2 to 3:30. I began our sharing time with prayer, and I told them all this was my first time ever preparing a eulogy in the presence of the person whom God might soon take home to His arms. What better time is there to give roses than while our loved ones are alive and able to hear and receive our roses? Our sharing began as Deborah told us Tamara was the rose giver in their family. When Tamara was little, she remembered her mother Marion taking her with Deborah, her older sister, on bike rides. Deborah rode her own bike, but Tamara was belted into a seat behind Marion's bike. Marion loved to take them to construction sites in their own town of Wyoming, Michigan, which is a southwest suburb of Grand Rapids. As their neighborhood was rapidly growing, Marion took them from where they lived in an apartment complex to new home construction sites where no one was working on the site. The three of them would walk inside the homes, and Marion would tell Deborah and Tamara where the kitchen was, the living room, the dining room, the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the closets, the laundry room, and the garage. Marion was dreaming of her own home someday in the future. Yet, though Marion was a very hard worker, she was very limited financially. She took care of her parents and her siblings, and since she was a nurse practitioner, she was everybody's nurse in the family. She gave her all freely to her family. But let's go back a moment and fill in a blank about Kathleen. Kathleen was 3 years younger than Deborah and 3 years older than Tamara. When Kathleen was born in 1966, Marion and Deborah had moved to Hollywood in Los Angeles, California. Marion loved her little daughter so much, but she was hardly able to even support Deborah. It was a difficult decision, but Marion did it thinking of Kathleen. She decided to put Kathleen up for adoption with a Christian agency in Los Angeles. Marion decided that she would rather be deprived of the daughter she bore and loved than to let her suffer without adequate provision. That's why one day Marion was holding Kathleen, and the next day Kathleen was at an adoption agency awaiting a Christian family to adopt her, as that was Marion's hope and prayer. Nothing more was known about Kathleen until 2016. But that's getting ahead of our story. I want you to learn about Marion a bit more. She grew up going to church as her mother took her. She went to many different Protestant churches, but it was not until she was in her 40s that Marion felt the tug of God's Holy Spirit on her heart. That's when Marion was born again. That's when Christ became her personal Savior. That's when God began to have His own way in Marion's life. Deborah and Tamara both said that as their mom was a single parent, looking back, Marion did a phenomenal job. She blazed her own trail. She was a banner mom. Marion said, God guided me all the way and even used some of my bad decisions to pay off for His glory. She said that looking back, God was protecting her and providing for her by His providence. Marion took Deborah and Tamara to home shows as Marion was still dreaming. She bought dance shoes and a baton for Tamara, but Tamara backed out and just used them for play. She dressed Deborah in dance costumes she couldn't afford. To keep working during the day, Marion employed a grandma babysitter Deborah and Tamara loved, Vera Aspergren. Vera walked the girls to school, and they loved her. Once a year, Marion took her daughters on a long trip to Cedar Point Amusement Park in Sandusky, Ohio. They would leave at 5 a.m. and be in Sandusky by 10 a.m. when the park opened. They would ride the rides and stay in a motel for the night and drive back the next day. Many times, Marion rented a motorhome and took her girls annually up north of Muskegon to Timber Shores, a campground they all loved. She took the girls to the circus, to Holiday on Ice, and even to a donkey basketball game. Marion saved up special money for special things. The girls never wanted for a meal or clothing. Deborah remembered her gym teacher sending a note home that she needed a special pair of tennis shoes that were never worn outside, separate from street shoes. Marion cried as she didn't have the money to get Deborah a second pair of shoes. Marion got some help from her parents to get these tennis shoes, but Marion deprived herself for her daughters. Deborah said that Marion, for so many years, wore a coat with a hat and a fur ring. She said it was the absolute ugliest coat in the world. A brown coat, her mom's worst color, a coat she got at Goodwill. Tamara had a Halloween memory of earlier in the day, eating peanut butter out of the jar. That was not in the boundaries of Marion's rules. So she grounded Tamara, which meant Deborah was grounded too, to stay home and boo-hoo with her and not be able to go trick-or-treating. Tamara said her mom should have chosen a different discipline. That night, Marion had a date. When the man came to the door, Marion said, "My two daughters are grounded, so I cannot go with you. I must stay home." Deborah remembered her mother asking her to back up the Ford Gran Torino under the carport so she could wash the car. Deborah was only 14. It was Marion's pride and joy, white with red pinstripes. Deborah said she had no license or permit, but she liked trying to drive. Sadly, Deborah ran the Torino smack dab into one of the carport posts. It made a noticeable dent. She was fearful, and Marion knew it happened. Deborah waited for some fireworks, but nothing happened. "Oh, my goodness," Deborah said. "Mom didn't say a thing." She wasn't angry. Marion, like many moms, kept chocolate hidden from her daughters in her bedroom. She was a chocolate lover. Marion noticed one evening some of her chocolate was missing. Tamara was getting a bath in the bathtub, and Marion just walked in and told Tamara she was getting a spanking. Marion spanked her right in the bathtub and left her crying. Deborah later told Tamara she took her mom's chocolate. When Tamara told her mom, Marion said, "Next time you need a spanking, Tamara, I'll skip it." Deborah said she escaped lots of discipline by just being gone a lot. Deborah was out working and babysitting from the age of 13. Six nights a week, she was out roller skating for the rink speed team. She said she skated herself out of trouble. Besides being a contestant at Roller World, Deborah was their neighborhood's official first preference babysitter. That kept her out a lot more nights. One night, Marion had Deborah home to watch Tamara when a neighbor asked Marion if Deborah could bring Tamara and watch between 6 and 12 children. Marion agreed, and that's what Deborah did. Marion shared how God led the family to Phoenix, Arizona. There she met a lady doctor, Dr. Cheryl Harder, who believed in Marion. That's how, in 1979, Marion became a full-time nurse practitioner in Arizona whose practice was using a natural path of healing. Now, you may be wondering, whatever happened to little adopted outcast Lane? Back to the story. 4 years ago, Tamara started studying genealogy and searching for her long-lost middle sister. Marion told her girls that somewhere they had another sister. Tamara was on it. She got help from an expert man, and within 24 hours, he found Kathleen's adopted sister, Christine, through Facebook out in Oregon. Kathleen grew up having no idea about her mom and trying to cope with the missing place she had inside by thinking her mom was probably a drug addict. Having no idea, her mom loved her and gave her up for adoption for her own good. Kathleen grew up in a German family who adopted an older girl, Christine. Those adopted parents applied for a boy from the same agency that Marion went to in Los Angeles. They waited and waited for a boy, and when no boy was available, the agency called to say, "We've got a girl, Kathleen." Now this little daughter of Marion had a home in Medford, Oregon. It's so strange but true that Kathleen grew up to become a nurse. In Providence Medford Medical Center in Medford, Oregon, Kathleen had been looking for her biological parents, and so was Tamara, doing it at the same time. Little did Kathleen know, she looked like her biological mom. She was a nurse, like Marion was, and she had two sisters longing to meet her. When Tamara called the contact, she found it. It was Kathleen's older sister, Christine, who wasn't sure about this call. Kathleen then finally got a call from Tamara and was shocked to speak to her biological sister. They talked for 2 hours. God was working a miracle and using Tamara and her husband Brent to make it happen. The next day, Marion called Kathleen, and mom and daughter were reunited on the phone. A visit was planned 4 years ago, and Kathleen came to visit her mom and her sisters over her 50th birthday. When I listened to the three daughters of Marion on Tuesday, March 10th, I saw God had melded them tightly together. Marion, Deborah, and Tamara were overjoyed to have all four of them now together with Kathleen. This time, Kathleen told me she was here to be with her mom and sisters for 12 days. Isn't God good? To see all the weaving together of God's grace, using both good and bad, Marion said she knew all these miracles were God's grace. Why? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, they're new creatures. The old things are passed away. All things are become new. One of the new things was getting the family back together. But let's back up again and piece together how God brought Marion, a good husband named Larry Remington. They'd been married 31 years. This happened toward the end of Tamara's growing up years at home. Deborah spoke of her dad taking her to college. Marion and Larry lived together in Arizona for many years, where Marion was a nurse practitioner there for 30 years. In 2018, Marion had a stroke that affected her whole right side of her body. Marion had to give up being a nurse practitioner at age 76 after her stroke. She and Larry in 2018 and 19 came to Rock Springs and moved in at Deer Trail, with both of them in wheelchairs, as Larry had health issues as well. Marion would not give up until she was able to walk again, and thus to walk out of Deer Trail on her own. Marion and Larry had been growing old together in Deer Trail, most people with their right side so badly affected, would have given up. Marion simply would not give up. Now Marion, who had so long sacrificed her time and love and energy for her daughters, lived to see them at her side giving and sacrificing back to her. Marion moved into her new home on Horseshoe Drive in Rock Springs, her fifth home she has ever owned. Because of Larry's health, he needed the care available to him back in Phoenix. So that is where he has 24-hour care to live with assistance in a home there. When Larry heard Marion had pancreatic cancer and had spent 3 weeks with Deborah in Tijuana, Mexico, getting cancer treatments, he told Marion, "We're getting older." The treatment Marion received in Mexico was helpful to many others, but for Marion, it did not bring healing for her. When Deborah's daughter, Sadie, heard Grandma Remington was in hospice care, she told her mom, "What will I do without Grandma? She's raised the bar to the highest level. Who's going to let me drive her golf cart? Who's going to take me to the rec center? Who's going to take me to the pool? I don't know what I'll do. Who can I go to when I want to share new things? Grandma is the most fantastic grandma." Marion's daughters feel the same way, as do Deborah's daughter, Gabby, and Tamara's children, Kayla and Travis, and his girlfriend, Lisa. They told me they struggle to release their mom. Deborah said it well with tears. "If mom has to go now, my husband Mike and I would rather God would take her home than have her have to suffer." Our church came to dearly love Marion. She got under our skin. What a woman Marion is as she lifted her hands in worship and praise. One night, Marion prayed aloud in the front of our service. She cared about people, body and soul. Even after getting back from Mexico, she called me twice to answer two medical questions I had asked her about over a month before. She knew I knew and loved those people. She wanted to give me the answer. She remembered because I'd asked her before Mexico's treatment. Heaven is a more beautiful place today because Marian had the Holy Spirit living in her as her guarantee when Jesus called her home. May God bless this lovely woman of God whose testimony I hope leads you to find Jesus today. If you don't know him, what a joy to tell her someday. It wasn't until your funeral that I finally found Jesus as my personal Savior. I could only imagine. The first time I ever talked to Marian about her possible passing, which all of us are going to pass away someday, her initial words to me is, "I don't want any fuss. I don't want anything. I don't want anything." And I told her, you would deprive so many people of your testimony. And most of all, you might deprive many people from receiving Jesus. This is going to go out to many people." And she looked at me and she says, "I don't want to deprive anyone from receiving Jesus." I will remember when Marian came into my office after she had pancreatic cancer. She was shocked that she had cancer. She was puzzled about God's plans for her future. This nurse practitioner who had helped so many be healed, now she says, "What's going on? I'm the one that's sick." She knew this cancer might be leading to the close of her earthly journey. We talked, we prayed, we cried. And she told me, "I know I'm coming back here. I'm not staying in Tijuana. I know I'm coming back here either to testify of God's healing or I'll come back at least with my body in a box." She came back without being in a box. She lived a good bit after coming back. She told me how much she loved all of us here in our church, that she had found a home. Then she expressed her deep awareness that she could be very close to her home going. After returning from Tijuana, she called me and made an appointment with me to talk about the future. I went to her home there on Horseshoe Drive, and she expressed her deep interest in what God's Word has to say about her future after leaving here as a born-again believer. I read many passages to her about how you know assurance of salvation once you're born again as she was. I read from Romans 8:16, "The Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs, or fellow heirs with Jesus Christ." I read from 1 John 5, 10-13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And this is the confidence we have. But I could tell Marian still was not satisfied. And so I said, "Marian, I'm going to let you read the next passage yourself. Would you turn with me," I said, "to 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. That's the passage I want to preach on because this one made the difference. I've entitled this message, "The Holy Spirit is Our Guarantee." And so Marian read these verses. And this is the word of the Lord from 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. And she read these words, "For we know that if the tent," that's our body, "that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, in this body, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, this body, we groan." And towards the end, she groaned. "Being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. I no sooner heard that come out of her mouth. She said, let's not read any more verses. That's my verse. Don't read anymore. This one's mine. I know the Holy Spirit lives inside me. And now I know that God's Holy Spirit is my guarantee for the future. I want you to think about this with me for just a few moments. This passage became Marian's go-to verse. She said, I'm marking this. I'm looking at this over and over. It's my go-to promise from God. He's my guarantee, His Holy Spirit in me. But since I've repented of sin, believed in Jesus, received Him as my personal Lord and Savior, since I'm born again, His Holy Spirit is in me as a guarantee. I want you to think with me about what it means to be a born-again believer and headed home to Jesus, as Marian did. We both freely cried together that day. I'm a Swede and I don't cry easily, but I tell you, we cried together. I held her hand and told her, you might beat me to heaven, Marian. As I pondered that day the work of God's Holy Spirit in Marian's heart, God assured me of three ways He used this passage of Scripture to remove all her fears and all her doubts so that she didn't die with fears and doubts, but she died with assurance in her heart that the Holy Spirit was her guarantee she was headed home. I want to just share three assurances from this text. The first one is when we are born again, we know if our earthly tent is destroyed, we have an eternal building from God in heaven. For it says, we know that if the tent that is our earthly body or our earthly house is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul says, if. But it's not only if, it's when. Because each of us must die unless Jesus returns in the rapture to take His born-again believers, His bride home. Those of us who are alive, when that happens, won't have to die. But most of us, probably me and probably you, will die. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Marian knew that she had repented of her past sins. She knew she had believed and received Jesus. She wasn't trusting in her good works for salvation, but she was trusting in the promises of Almighty God in His Word as one of His born-again children. She loved it. When she read, we know that if our tent, this earthly house, is destroyed, it's not the end. I told Mary and I said, graduation day is ahead for you. You got to walk the aisle. You get to receive your diploma. You get to receive your degree. You get to receive something better than all of that. And so I reenacted what it must be like when she was here on earth and the Lord would call out, come home, Marian. Come home. You're graduated. It's supper time. Come on home. And on April 4th, 2020, Jesus called Mary and Joy Remington. Come home. Come home. Paul tells us, we know as born again believers, this old house we live in is not our eternal body. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now I want to ask each of you today, because we're Americans and everybody is a Christian, or seems to be when you ask them. Do you know that you know that you know that you're born again? And we have this idea, if we believe in our minds that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God who died for our sins, He was buried on that first Good Friday, and this is Good Friday again, and He rose from the dead on Easter morning, that we're okay. I want you to know head knowledge is a wonderful start. But head knowledge doesn't save us. The Scripture tells us that even demons believe with their head knowledge and they tremble. It's tragic to know something in our head, but not to have seen that knowledge become heart knowledge. So that we believe as Marian did in her heart, and she was born again. I told Marian God's hope was that a number of people might be born again at her funeral. I can't wipe away the feeling and the look that she had on her face. She just started to beam. She beamed and she asked me, "How is that? How could anybody find Jesus at my funeral?" And I assured her, I can never, as a pastor, obediently preach a funeral message without giving people an invitation to come to Jesus themselves. It would be a sin against Christ's death on Calvary for me to fail to call all of you and everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice to come to rest and salvation, the rest and salvation that Marion had. She went to sleep in Jesus on April 4th. Jesus calls every one of us today, as He once called out to me, as He called out to Marion. And He says, "Come to me," Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the first assurance. We can know that if our earthly tent is destroyed, as born-again believers, we have an eternal building from God in heaven. Secondly, when we're born again, we know we long to put on this heavenly dwelling. We long for it. In 2 Corinthians 5:2-4, we read, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we're still in this tent, we groan," as Marion groaned, "being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what's mortal, what's dying, may be swallowed up by life." The last day I spoke to Marion, which was just a short time ago, was in April. I can't forget it. She had a helper there. And that helper was helping her, and she enjoyed her. And we sat down to the table, and Marion started testifying to this lady of her faith in Christ and telling her what kind of a husband she ought to marry and what kind of a life she ought to live. And I just sat there and listened to the preacher. She just told this woman the things she needed to know about her future. All the way to glory, Marion has been selfless, thinking of others. But before I turned to pray for her, I asked her this question. I said, "Marion, how do you want me to pray for you?" She almost spoke verbatim these words. She said, "You see, I'm short of breath. You can see I'm groaning. Pray that God will take me home. I'm ready to go." It was only days later, hours, 72 or whatever it was later, she was home. She was home. If you and I could only see her now. If we could see her now, mortal flesh, disease, cancer, shortness of breath are eternally gone. Marion has gone home to her reward as a born-again believer, as the bride of Christ. Her last earthly longing to go home is now fully realized. And if we saw her now, we would never dream of trying to drag her back to this world filled with sin and sickness and sadness in this pandemic of 2020. Her longing has been realized. I want you to know that each of us will die sooner or later. Hebrews 9:27 is so clear. "For it is appointed unto men and women, boys and girls, it is appointed once to die." I've got an appointment. You've got an appointment. And after this, the judgment. Each of us will stand before God. Romans 14:10 is clear. "For we all will stand before the judgment seat of God." If you were to stand before the Lord, would it be a fulfillment of your dreams and your deepest longings as Marion? Or would it be tragic? We can know all about Him here, but not yet have received Him here, because we haven't yet been born again. When I told Mary and others might come to the Lord through her personal testimony, she said, "Could that possibly be?" I told her, "That's God's help. That's God's hope and desire." There's one last thought. When we're born again, there's one more assurance. We know that eternal life is what God has prepared for us, and that His indwelling Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:5, the last of the five verses, he says words that sent Marian's spirit soaring. He said, "He who has prepared us for this very thing, for heaven, is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee." Now, the word Paul used for guarantee is a Greek word, erabon. It means a security deposit. If you've ever bought a home, you know about it as a security deposit. You know what a pledge is. You know what earnest money down, deposited by the purchaser, and forfeited if the purchase is not completed. Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, so many Good Fridays ago. He paid for all of our sins. He carried our sins on His back to the cross. He atoned for our sins. And when we truly come to a personal, born-again faith in Jesus, the price that Jesus paid for us was complete, and it's enough to save every single sinner who will come to Him and repent, believe, and receive Him through prayer and the commitment of their will. The price Jesus paid was complete, and it's enough to save you. It's enough to save me. The moment we come to Jesus as Marian did, God gives us inside us His security deposit, His earnest money, if you will, His Holy Spirit, with the promise that on the basis of His promise that He cannot and He will not lie, He guarantees us eternal life with Him. When I explained this to Marian, I said, "This verse is yours, isn't it?" She says, "It's my verse." I left her home that day with tears in my eyes. I got in the car, and as I praise God sometimes, I raise my hand to heaven. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Marian and I are going to spend eternity together that never ends. And we have the promise of new bodies. Praise the Lord." I want to ask you as I close, do you want Marian's assurance of salvation, that Jesus lives within you as His eternal pledge, His earnest, His guarantee by His Holy Spirit? I just ask you for a moment to bow your heads. If you bow your heads for a moment. I promised her I would give an invitation. That's why she wanted a service. It's for me to do what I'm doing right now. And that's to say, if there is even a shadow of a doubt that you can't say, "I know that I know that I know that I've been born again," I'd like to share a prayer with you in just a moment. And you can pray that prayer in faith and just say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need You. I repent. You died for me. Come into my heart." It's a prayer like that. But I'm asking you right now, how many of you, whether you're listening to this on sermon audio or Facebook or whether you're here right now, how many of you would say, "That's what I need"? If you just slip up your hand and say, "That's what I need." Just let me see your hand. Yes, sir. Are there others? "I need Jesus in my heart." Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? "I need Jesus to come into my life." I'll wait just a moment. If you'll slip up your hand. Maybe you couldn't slip up your hand, but you can give God your heart. If you want to give Him your heart right now, just pray a simple prayer. You can pray it. I'll just pray it slowly as we close. "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need You today." You don't have to say it out loud. Just tell Him, "Dear God, I'm a sinner who needs You today. I come to You. I repent of my sin. You died on the cross for me to open the way for me to have eternal salvation. Come into my heart today, Lord Jesus. Live inside me by Your Holy Spirit. I receive You by faith. Thank You so much for coming into my heart. I'll live for You the rest of my life. How I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen." And now, Father, as we close with a song,
and head out to the grave. I pray for those that prayed this prayer. Whether they raised a hand or not, if they raised their heart to you, they'd let us know, I gave my life to Jesus today at Marion's funeral. Seal your words to our heart. Oh, if we could only see her now. Would you play that for us, Pastor Kevin?